This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run, and I'm Julian Ng, and joined by my colleagues Lynn Mark and Charles Abdullah, looking at the international markets roundup. U.S. stocks finished in the red yesterday. Bond yields are falling and the world is worried about slowing growth. The Dow Jones, together with the S&P 500 and NASDAQ, fell into negative territories.
Yes, so the Dow Jones was down 0.1% and the S&P down 0.5%. NASDAQ also fell 0.6%. European markets were also pretty choppy. So this is after the European Central Bank President Mario Draghi pledged to intervene if economic conditions worsen. So the stocks was pretty unchanged, up 0.02%, just like the UK's FTSE. France's CAC was down 0.1%, but Germany's DAX went up 0.6%.
So let's look at closer to home. The FBM KLCI continued its trajectory south in the absence of positive catalysts to spark buying interest. Overall, all markets in Asia closed lower. It closed lowest level this year, down to 0.44 for KLCI. Japan's Nikkei fell 0.23%. South Korean Kospi declined 0.15%. And the Hong Kong Hang Seng, the only one who gained 0.6%.
We're seeing also a lot of treasury yields falling. U.S. treasuries slipped to 2.37%, and the German bonds yields also sank further to below zero for the first time since 2016. Just imagine giving your money to somebody, you have to pay, right? You have to pay to give your money to somebody else. That's a weird situation.
So in the UK, none of the MPs are speaking about Brexit proposed options to secure clear backing following the Commons vote. Brexit Secretary Stephen Barclay said that the results strengthened the government's view that their deal was the best option. And Theresa May also promised to resign as British Prime Minister, where her Conservative Party colleagues dropped their opposition to her Brexit strategy and vote to ratify her deal.
So Saudi Aramco as well, the world's biggest oil producer, will be buying a majority stake in local chemical giant SABIC from the kingdom's sovereign wealth fund for $69.1 billion, which is a record in the Middle East. So the purchase will shift Aramco's center of gravity kind of a little bit more away from its core business of pumping oil, so about 1 in 10 barrels globally, into the chemicals that are the building blocks of plastic goods. So they're keen to push into petrochemicals as demand growth for gasoline and other fuels is starting to slow because of the global fight against climate change.
And now moving on to India, they have shot down a satellite in space with an anti-satellite missile. This is according to Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who said yesterday, hailing the test as a major breakthrough in its space program. India has had a space program for years, making Earth imaging satellites and launch capabilities as cheap alternative to Western programs. Only one Indian citizen had been in space. So his name is Rakesh Sharma, and he was selected to become a cosmonaut and, you know, go into space as part of our joint venture with the Indian Space Research Organization with the Russians. Same like us, similar to us.
Okay, we are going back to the U.S. Treasury yields, and we have Vasu Menon on the line. He's senior investment strategist from OCBC Bank Singapore. Good morning, Vasu. So recently, the yield curve has inverted for U.S. 10-year treasuries. Do you think this is a reliable predictor of recession?
Well, you know, if you look at history, it would be a reliable predictor because in the last seven recessions in the U.S., in the last 50 years, preceding those recessions, the yield curve had inverted. But having said that, there were also two occasions where we had false positives. One in 1966, when the yield curve inverted and was not followed by recession, and 1998, when the yield curve inverted and again not followed by recession. I think, you know, the yield curve is only one indication as to whether we'll see a recession. This time around, I think it's different because usually when the yield curve inverts, it's accompanied by tighter monetary policy. Short-term interest rates are fairly high. This time around, you know, although the yield curve is inverted, you know, monetary policy is not tight. In fact, it is very accommodative, relatively loose. And short-term interest rates, while they have gone up, are actually low by historical standards. And if you look at real interest rates, short-term interest rates, they're actually not high at all. Plus, if you look at other accompanying economic indicators like, you know, the unemployment rate in the U.S., you look at credit defaults in the U.S., those do not point to any signs of a recession. So, you know, while the yield curve is just one indicator, the other indicators that usually accompany it that point to recession are just not there. I mean, they do not indicate that the U.S. economy is headed for recession. The indicators, however, do point to the fact that the economy is slowing down. I think this time around is slightly different. In the last 10 years, central banks have adopted extremely loose monetary policy, and I think so that has resulted in yields, you know, moving in odd directions. And, you know, I think so this time around, the inversion of the yield curve will not be a very accurate predictor of recession.
Right, Vasu. So in the last financial crisis in 2007, that was caused by U.S. household debt with the subprime market. So do you think that this time round we should be worried about U.S. corporate debt? So former Fed Chairman Janet Yellen has expressed this concern during a panel discussion at the American Economic Association, Allied Social Science Association in late February. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's something to bear in mind. If you look at the end of 2018, corporate debt in the U.S., excluding financial institutions, private sector corporate debt was about $15 trillion. That's about 70% of U.S. GDP. No doubt it's high, but bear this in mind, a few saving points. Number one is interest rates are very low, and that's one reason why corporates have gone out there to, you know, borrow quite a bit of money. It's not like these corporates have no cash. I think many U.S. corporates are very cash rich. So if you look at the debt to, you know, total asset ratios in the U.S., they're not very high. And the debt service ratios are still very comfortable. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, while debt levels have gone up, companies have been borrowing because of low interest rates. It's been deliberate. It's been designed. But they have the cash to repay the debt if need be, if something calls upon them. Number two, interest rates are low, relatively low. I think so the debt ability of companies to service debt is still relatively comfortable. Given the recent stand of the Fed does not has indicated it will not increase interest rates any further this year. So if interest rates do not go up much more, I think you know, corporate debt will not pose a big problem as long as profitability remains and margins are not under tremendous pressure. At this juncture, we don't see signs of it. But nevertheless, you know, something to bear in mind, but it's not imminent danger.
Okay, Vasu, we got to take a break in 1 minute. Can you give us your quick view on the stock markets? Where will we go from here?
Well, we have front-loaded a lot of good news in the first 2 months of this year, or first 3 months of this year. Global equities have done have rebounded 17% since Christmas. And going forward, yes, there are more gains. I think the valuations are not terribly demanding. But I think, you know, you have to bear in mind that having done so well, going forward, the returns are not going to be as fantastic. But I think, you know, investors still can make returns if they are selective and buy when the markets pull back sharply.
Thank you so much. And that was Vasu Menon, Vice President and Senior Investment Strategist with OCBC Bank Singapore. We'll be coming back with takeaways from Bank Negara's annual report. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.